There are three main reasons for why the Kudo monks travel in Australia, and not only in Australia, but in other parts of the country, other parts of the world. That is to promote the world peace, which is very close and near to Dalai Lama's, His Holiness Dalai Lama's heart, and also to highlight the Tibetan problems, highlight their culture, and thirdly, perhaps practically, least desirable is to raise funds in order to support the 500 monks in India in Dharamsala, and in particular in Australia over the last 17 years, the support to the monks in the monastery is quite consistent and quite profound and quite quite extensive, and that's one of the also reason why we seem to travel in Australia in the way we do, quite consistently and quite annually. And it is also due to the return invitations, organized, of course, by our indomitable supporter and director, promoter, if you like, one person as a passion, is Maureen Fallon.
And Maureen's here with us at Culture this week, Culture in Fremantle, 13 South Terrace, upstairs from the Dome, in case you don't know it. What is happening here this week at Culture?
It is a pleasant return trip to Western Australia after reasonable long pause, in that the touring of Australia by the Kudo monks actually began in Perth some 17 years ago. And so this time at the Culture, we are going to be making a beautiful Sen mandala of Buddha of Infinite Present, which is, I mentioned before, the theme of this year's tour, and couple that with the beautiful harmonic chanting, Culture for kids, tantric art workshop for people, and doing some meditation class, fundamentally sharing Tibetan culture, and in particular the Kudo monasteries of culture with the local residents in Fremantle, hopefully Western Australia as a bigger or proper region proper.
Well, it was quite impressive yesterday to have 14,000 people at the Burswood Dome to hear the Dalai Lama speak, and hopefully some of those 14,000 will come down to Culture this week. What's the relationship between the Kudo monks and the Dalai Lama?
And chanzu jangurum chenyam dolia mangbu phegdus and chanzu chik mixeg de onda jesa yor khande resa
rewai no yor dalai lama de
kitangita. Kudo monastery has been going on for the last 600 years, and it is one of the very old Tibetan monasteries, playing important role in shaping and preserving and creating of Tibetan spiritual traditions. As such, they come under the jurisdictions of Tibetan government officially, and in particular, given that they are masters of ceremonies, they often are being invited to go to Dalai Lama's palace and to perform ceremonies, rituals, and so on for him, of course, as a Tibetan person, all of things Tibetans come under his jurisdictions, under his patronage. So in that regard, it's no extraordinary connection per se, but of course, Dalai Lama is very, very kind to the Kudo monastery, that is for sure.
Can I ask a spiritual question? What do you think... What do you think the Dalai Lama means when he says that love and compassion are the universal religion?
Negative aspect of ourselves, like aggressions, dominations, hatred, and so on, are not sustainable, even though sometimes we use them as tools for getting what we want, whereas love and compassion is an infinite, flexible qualities that can never tire us, can never run out, That being the case, it is the common currency in which we can purchase our happiness and a purpose of life that we all long, whether we're able to articulate not. So it is a very safe, sound currency for purchasing our peace of mind and happiness, unlike the currency of anger, hatred, aggressions. They are not very sustainable.
After speaking with Gen Lama Thupten Poonsok, that's the head lama of the Gyuto monks, I then spoke with Maureen Fallon, who's the director of the Gyuto House of Australia.
Wherever we go, the Gyuto monks, it's their presence, I think, that it seems to make such a huge impact on people. And people just want to spend more and more time in their presence. So it's quite it's almost a phenomenon, really, in a way, that a group of monks who actually are different monks each year, but from the same monastery. So there's no guru context here. They're different individuals, but they all seem to have the ability to create the same wonderful presence that has such a huge impact on people. And we tour year round, and year after year it keeps going. So it's quite interesting in that regard, you know. I mean, I don't think even most rock and roll bands, sometimes theatre companies, last that long. But
And what's happening at Culture on Thursday night?
This will be the only opportunity here in the West on this visit to hear the monks. Actually, I correct myself. They're also going to be chanting at Margaret River, but here in the Perth Fremantle area. The only opportunity to hear them in full harmonic chanting form will be here at Culture on Thursday evening at 8 o'clock, where the monks will be donning their big yellow hats, playing the Tibetan longhorn, chanting in terms of the sky dancers, the Dakinis, where they have beautiful brocade capes and black and silver hats, and basically that's a form of transforming themselves into, or imagining themselves as the deities in terms of their chanting and prayers. And it's quite a wonderful thing to be part of.
So what's happening this week?
The monks are in residency at Culture in Fremantle. They're there all day from 10 to 5. And throughout the day, there is a range of different happenings. The monks are making a beautiful sand mandala of the Buddha Amitayus. It's probably the first time the full sand mandala of that kind has been seen in the West.
A lot of people might not know what a sand mandala is.
I think quite a lot of people do by now, but a sand mandala is a creation. It's about 2 meters in diameter. It's a very concentrated, it's a meditation tool in a way. It's made out of richly coloured marble sands from the Himalayas. The monks do it by repetition and concentration. It's not an original design. The design itself hasn't changed for 500 years. And through doing it over and over again and dissolving it once they've completed it, it's a process of focus for their meditation. It's not about creating a wonderful product at the end. It's the process that's really important. And it's about creating the actual meaning of the mandala can be quite complex. A simple explanation is that it's creating a perfect world with the monks themselves at the centre. So they're imagining themselves, they're visualising themselves as being perfectly happy at the centre of the world, just as they would like it to be. If you can imagine that yourself, I liken it to being in love, although this old person, I'll tell you, can't remember what it's like. But
I'm sure that's not true.
When you're feeling that way, you soften and you're warm, and the way you talk to everybody changes. And other people feel that, and so they feel different in the way that they talk to other people. So in essence, it starts with yourself, with an internal thing, and it basically ends up with a perfect world where everyone's happy. So that is the fundamental is the crux of these monks' practice of kindness and compassion. And so the mandala in that regard is quite important to them. A mandala can be a visual thing, it can be a mental thing, it can be made of wood, it can be painted, it can be made of sand.
What do you mean it can be a mental thing?
Well, basically, there is a mandala can be made just by imagining it. You can use your body, if you wish, and basically create a mandala using the different limbs of the body going through that whole process. So it's not as if it's a particular sand mandala that is of its own essence, a product that has value. It's the outcome of a mental process.
And I wanted to ask you, Maureen, about your own involvement in Kyoto House and setting it up. How did all this come about, and how did your interest in Tibetan Buddhism arise?
Many years ago, I had an idea about a simple idea about changing the way Australians think. It seemed to me, I was a bureaucrat at the time, and I felt that there was something lacking in the way we approach things in Australia, where government policies, government programs, there was no philosophy behind them, no real idea of who we wanted to be as Australians. And I had this little epiphany where I thought we'd all change and we'd all take more care, which was really about kindness and compassion, now I realise. At the time, I just thought it was a very practical way to go, so that we could all identify collectively, and whether we were individuals or companies or government departments or wherever, we could actually all have a sense of what we were trying to achieve. I had that idea for some years before I came across the Gyuto monks, and indeed my most important connection with the Gyuto monks happened here in Perth. Funnily enough, I had been with them in Adelaide, and I came over to Perth to see them, and the abbot of the monastery was the leader of the group, and I had probably the five most important days of my life. I mean, it was extraordinary. It hit me like a, you know, like a bullet, really. And I was a pretty hard-nosed person, and suddenly I found myself in tears, and I think I cried for about 18 months, really, on and off. Didn't know what was happening. Wasn't particularly, I mean, interested in Tibetan, interested in the Dalai Lama as an interesting person whose values I cherished. But I wasn't looking for Tibetan Buddhism as such, and I still am not, I'd have to say. I'm really pleased every time I hear the Dalai Lama say, if you're not a Tibetan Buddhist, don't try and be one. Just try and be a better kind of person, whether you happen to be a Greek Orthodox person or a Muslim or a Catholic or whatever. You know, the object of the exercise is to be the best person you can be. And after 17 years with the monks, I sometimes describe myself as a Scottish Presbyterian Buddhist, but I think that's really what it's all about. It's just about kindness wherever you find it, you know. And
so it's not only about bringing traditional Tibetan culture to Australia in these tours, it's also about something that's not part of any particular religion.
Yeah. These are cultural tours. They're not religious tours. They're not political tours. Obviously, the monks are Tibetan monks who are living as refugees, and that speaks for itself. But in terms of how, I guess I have been, I've played a role in how I present them to the Australian public, and for me, my interest in them is in their gentleness, in their non-judgment, in their acceptance of people, and I think that's really important, and that's what people feel when they're around the monks. The monks don't preach Buddhism; they don't preach at all. You know, they just are, and because the Gyuto monks are tantric monks, and that's a term that's often misinterpreted. In Tibetan Buddhism, it simply means harnessing the power of the emotions and changing negative emotions into positive emotions, often described as moving the heart. That's what these monks are about. And so they're just being, and that's the power. They don't actually have to, they're not proselytizing, they're not telling you anything, they're not judging you. They just are who they are, and that rubs off. And people don't often feel that they're accepted for who they are. So to cut a long story short, this is my 17th year working with the monks. I do it voluntarily. I wouldn't in any way describe myself as a do-gooder or anything. I don't know why I do it. I still couldn't define it. I wouldn't describe myself as a Buddhist. I think the monks might describe me that way, I'm not sure. But for me, it's been very helpful. I think I'm happier. The Dalai Lama says the meaning of life is to be happy and useful. And I certainly find that being useful makes you happy. The Buddhists often talk about doing things for others. And my take on that is simply, again, not from a do-gooding point of view. When you're doing things for others, you're not thinking about yourself. Therefore, you're more likely to be happy. Because if you're thinking about yourself, most of the time you're thinking about, you know, how things could be different. And so I guess I've just been too busy all these years to get too excited about myself, in which case I have been happier. I've been happier. When I met them, I was certainly feeling the lack of purpose. And I had, you know, a pretty comfortable life. I had a good job. And I just feel that I've stopped looking. I've stopped looking for meaning. You know, I'm too busy.
Okay, and so people will have an opportunity to meet the monks from 10 till 5 at Culture until this Thursday, is that right?
That's correct, and they can come at any time. At 10 o'clock they can come and meditate, listen to the monks chanting for half an hour. They can come and do Culture for Kids at 11. They can come for a meditation workshop at 12, a public talk at 2, or do some tantric art at 3. We've got a wonderful cleansing ceremony, blessing ceremony, healing ceremony, call it what you like, a beautiful ritual from 4 to 5, where our senior monk actually offers this practice which allows you to shift things in your life if you're stuck in any way, physically, mentally, spiritually. It really helps move you right on. And it's been much appreciated throughout Australia, so I'm pleased we're able to offer that in Fremantle this week.
Very well, I'll make sure I'm there. Thanks very much.